when we go to the Philippines, which is really important. We always have our, as some of you will know, we take teams regularly to visit Manila, to visit the work of Canlungan out there. And one of the things that we always do on the final day is go to the gift shop. So, you know, it's an important part of the ritual of going, you know, because obviously when people have been away from their families for a couple of weeks, it's important that they take something back as a kind of mentor, because obviously they're kind of like, where have you been? What have you been doing? You've been away. And, you know, and obviously there's that sense of, you know, you want to share something of where you've been, don't you? And so you go to the gift shop. And the interesting thing about going to the gift shop is everything in the Philippines gets bartered for, basically. You have to barter for everything. So although there was one famous occasion where I realized I was bartering in the market for a scarf to bring home for Helen. This person just wasn't budging. So I think it was about, you know, I was paying about £1.50 for this scarf. And I thought, actually, you know what, I actually do really want to get this scarf. And then she's not, so I just said, oh, all right then. And then, you know, kind of massive, great big grin, kind of like, yes, I've got him, you know. Another sucker, one whatever. Actually, it was a nice scarf, so it was fine. Unfortunately, I did have Danny Marshall standing next to me at the time. Those of you who know Danny, and he thought it was hilarious. So, although, to be fair, his bartering was pretty rubbish too. So, anyway, you have to barter everything. So we're going to the gift shop. The good thing about going to the gift shop is it's kind of been pre-bartered. So, Sol, who's the administrator there, she always loves a bargain too. And so they always go, yes, you know, discount. Discount, it's already there arranged for you, get 60% off, you know, or whatever the ticket price, except that there's always the things that you really want. They have this little mark on to say no discount, so never mind. But it's important to go to the gift shop, you know, when you go, who's ever been to a gift shop where they've gone away to do it? Anyone done that? Oh, two of you have done that, okay, fine. I'm sure more of you have done that, really, but anyway, there you go. Now, the other thing is, quite often when you go and visit somewhere, or when we go there, or you go, you leave a gift, don't you? Maybe you get a gift also for your host who'd be looking after you, or maybe someone comes to stay with you and they'll give you a gift for wanting to stay. Anyone ever done that? Okay, fantastic. Good to see that you are actually alive. Good. I'm pleased about that this morning. Right, so you know, you go and do that, and we always do that as well when we go there. Quite often, it's, you know, and that's always something, you know, really quite personal when we go and do those trips there. We quite often will make a photo book and we'll write messages for people because you want them to have something to remember you by, don't they? You know, you want to leave something of yourself there. You don't, you know, it's nice to get a gift and gifts are great, but actually if you can really put something personal into it, you know, so we've done photo books and messages, and then what's amazing is, I wanted to get this one, but I couldn't quite get it from some of our previous visitors. But the children and the staff will do that for us as well, and you get these amazing messages. It's, oh, it's so, you know, kind of like, and you know, and it's all really important. It's an important part of that kind of stuff that we do when we go and visit someone, isn't it? Or we have someone to visit us. You want to leave something for them to remember you by. You want to leave a gift that says, you know, I'm leaving kind of part of myself here with you, even though I'm not physically going to be with you anymore. There's something I want to leave with you for you to remember me by. The whole idea of a parting gift. Today's passage that I just read from John's Gospel, Jesus gives us his parting gift. Well, to be more precise, he's talking to his disciples, I suppose, isn't he? He gives his disciples his parting gift. Talks in there about the fact that he's going to go away. In fact, he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to come to you. And it's kind of like, what's about to happen? Don't forget, we're going to come onto this in a minute, that this is the night before Jesus dies, that he's giving this. So it really is his parting gift, the final things, the final moments that he's got with his disciples before he dies. And yes, he is risen again, and yes, we celebrate that at Easter time. But, of course, it's going to be different, isn't it? It's going to be a different type of relationship from the one he's had with them for the 3 years he's been with them. So what is his parting gift going to be? What is he going to leave with his disciples? He's not going to leave them a scrapbook or a photo book, to be fair, but he's going to leave them something. What does he want to give to them on this most important night, this most important time? What does he leave with them? Is anyone awake? Thank you. Peace. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you, he says to them, didn't he? Yes, you're quite right. Holy Spirit too. That was also a right answer. Of course, it's all connected, isn't it? But I want to think this morning particularly about peace. That's what he says is his parting gift. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm not going to give it to you like the world gives it to you. This is a different sort of peace, a peace that the world can't understand, can't get a hold of. What a gift that is, isn't it? What a gift it is. Peace. Peace in our hearts. Who wants to have peace in their heart? Okay, good. So you, half of you are with me, or maybe a quarter. That's really great. The rest of you, fine. You know, if you don't want peace, it's no problem. I don't believe you, but it's no problem. I think we all want that, don't we? Don't we all want peace in our hearts? We actually want to know that sense of peace in ourselves, you know. So much stuff going on, isn't there? You know, thinking about the way the world is today. You know, there's so much anxiety in the world today, isn't there? We're just a culture that just feeds on anxiety. And you know what? Anxiety is like a virus. You can catch it off other people, can't you? If you're in the presence of someone who's anxious, what do you get anxious, don't you? You know, if you've had a bad day at work and you come home and you're kind of, you know, and you're anxious and you're screwed up about it and you come home, then you know what? The other people in your family, they'll get that off you. They'll pick that up off you. It's like a virus. It jumps really quickly from one. We do it in this church. We can pass it around. Oh, what's going on? What are all these changes? What's happening? What are we doing? What's that vicar done now? Yeah, you see, I know. I get to hear. Pass it around like a virus. We get so anxious. We get so anxious. You know, it doesn't help that we have a 24-hour news media that just loves to stoke it up in us, doesn't it? You know, oh, it's all dreadful. You know, oh, the world's coming to an end. You know, it's a disaster. You know, what can we just get people hyped up about now? It's just so much anxiety. And we just feed it in each other, and it just bounces off us, and it goes round and round in systems and cycles, and it just ratchets up. And Jesus wants to come into that and say, I want to give you something different. I don't want to give you what the world's giving you, because actually the world doesn't know how to give you this kind of peace. I want to give you peace. I want to give you peace with God. I want to give you peace with one another. And actually, do you know what? I think Jesus says, I want to give you peace with yourself. I think in one sense you could say that that's exactly why Jesus came. This is the reason why Jesus came. He came to leave us this gift. This is his parting gift. He came to leave it with us. You know, we talk quite rightly about forgiveness. We've just done the confession that Jesus died for our sins, that we're forgiven. But really what that's about, even that is kind of a means to an end. To be forgiven, to know that you're forgiven and not, don't have to feel guilt anymore, is great. But even that, of course it's great, hallelujah, but even that is a means to an end. And the end is peace. God wants to give us his peace. That's why he wants us to be forgiven, so that we can know peace with God. He wants to be at peace with us. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians about giving us a ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because we're supposed to be the people that can do this. We're supposed to be reconciled to each other so that we can model it to the world. To be agents, to be like yeast working through the dough, to use another one of Jesus' pictures. Agents of peace who bring this to the world around us. And you know, yeah, Jesus tells us to love our neighbour. How? As we love ourselves. There's a sense in which, you know, if we're not at peace with ourselves, if we don't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbours? Jesus wants to bring us his peace. And as we said, what a message that is that we need to share. You know, I don't know what you think about those posters. Who's got either a poster or a mug or a t-shirt or something which says, keep calm and, you know, walk the dog, or, you know, what do they say? Keep calm, what is it, walk the dog? You know, we've got some nice Christian ones too, haven't we? You know, keep calm and pray something, or, you know, what have you got? Go on, Shelley, you got one? Keep calm and carry on. Yeah, that's the kind of basic one, isn't it? But it's been kind of been riffed off all these different things, and they've really riffed off this kind of poster. Keep calm and carry on. What's all that about? Why has that become so popular? Of course, it came from the war, didn't it? So I'm told. But, you know, although I think there's a bit of a rumour of whether it actually did or not, but anyway. But, you know, and I read an article actually about it. You know, I don't know. I actually got a bit fed up with them once and had a bit of a rant at my family and said, I'm just getting so fed up with all these keep calm and carry on posters and all these different things that have been. And they went, don't calm down a bit, will you? You know, it's kind of... You know, what's that all about? It's just because we just don't... Just trying to deal with all this anxiety, and we're trying to find ways to deal with it. Jesus comes and says, peace be with you. Of course, the irony, even the paradox, is that, and Jesus knew this, of course, don't forget, in his own time. I was kind of wrestling with this, and I was thinking, but what about that passage where Jesus says, I haven't come to bring peace but a sword? And you thought, oh, I don't know. But somebody will be thinking it, because you're all good, you know. Somebody will be thinking it. You know, well, actually, I don't know. I think there's the paradox there is that not everybody wants this peace. You know, we want to offer it and we want to share it, but not everybody wants it. You know, that's kind of like sin, isn't it? That's sort of sin. That's what it does. It's something in us that rebels against it and rejects it. You know, this peace is deeply challenging. If we want to be at peace with ourselves, sometimes we have to confront things in ourselves that we'd rather not look at. But perhaps the more common reaction is this. I don't know whether you think this. I quite often preach on this passage at funerals, just not as long as you're getting today. Ah, you might say that's good. We like that. Yeah, thanks, Shirley. You can laugh. That's definite snigger from the front row here. But anyway, I quite often preach on this passage at funerals, and one of the things that I say is, you know, I'm aware that I'm using this passage, peace be with you, and I just think people are sitting there thinking, that's just ridiculous. It's just hopelessly unrealistic. It's completely naive. It's just, you know, it's just platitudes, really. Is this just a platitude? Is this just a kind of nice phrase to say, oh, you know, just like, hello, how are you? I'm fine, yeah. Peace be with you. Is that kind of what it's like? I think our most common reaction is, find Jesus. It's just hopelessly unrealistic. You have no idea about really what's going on in my life. You have really no idea about the pressures that I'm under. You have really no idea about what I've got to face tomorrow. So really, you know, thanks, but I don't know whether that rings any bells with you. In your heart, whether that's really what we think. I think it's really sometimes what I think. I think the only thing I'd say into that is this. Remember when Jesus says this. So in a sense, when we say, you know, Jesus, you don't know what I've got to face tomorrow. He knew exactly what his disciples had to face tomorrow. When he said to them, peace be with you. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. What were his disciples about to face? They, first of all, in the matter of hours, probably minutes even, they were going to face his betrayal by one of their own. They were going to face his unjust trial. They were going to face his torture. They were going to face his death within a day of him offering this. Peace be with you. Peter is going to deny him three times and curse and swear that he never knew him. And Jesus still says, peace be with you. This is still what I want you to have. Jesus knows what's about to happen. He knows what he's about to go through. He knows what his disciples are about to go through. He still says to them, peace be with you. This is what you need. This is what you need to get through this. This is what you've got to take. Peace be with you. Of course, they didn't get it all at once. I think this is something we have to grow into. We have to allow ourselves to grow into this. You know, the whole of life is about growth, really. Jesus wants us to grow. Now, sometimes God will give it to us all at once. I'm sure there are people here who have experienced that overwhelming sense of peace that God can give us in an instant. But even that, you know, kind of we have to grow into it. I mean, it's kind of like a jump. You make a jump and then you have to kind of catch up because you kind of leap back, don't you? We kind of step back. But we actually, in those moments of really experiencing that peace, we can know that God is there. We can know that he's real. And then kind of we catch up to it and then we go further, don't we? And then that's kind of how we learn and grow, isn't it? This offer is there. You see, I think one of the things all the time, the challenge is to actually stop enough to allow God in. God's always there. You know, God's there. God's like an undergirding. It's like a foundational level for life. But you've got to, sometimes you just got to quiet your heart down and let him in again. What did the psalmist say? Be still and know that I am God. You know, and you can do that anywhere. You can do that when you're driving a car. You can do it when you're walking the street. You can do it when you're at home, sitting in the lounge, watching the telly. Just be still. Be still. Says the psalmist, and know that I am God. Jesus says, peace be with you. We need to receive this peace. We need to grow in it. We need to share it. This is what it's all about. Just look then. See, look at where this peace comes from and look at how it comes to us. And that tells us something about what we need to do with it. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message. If you haven't read the Message, I really get hold of a copy of the Message translation of the Bible. One of the things that I'm doing at the moment is I'm reading through the Gospels. It's like reading a book. It's much easier to read. And it's really got some great stuff that just draws it out to you. So I really recommend that to you. It doesn't take very long to read the Gospels. You can sit down and read the Gospels in probably an hour. maybe in a couple of sittings, whatever. I love the way he puts this. He says, the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He'll remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. Don't be upset and don't be distraught. Look then at where this peace comes from. This peace comes from the Father who sends the Son. The Father who sent the Son and now sends the Spirit at the Son's request. In his name, at his request. Comes in Jesus' name, at his request. See, this is interesting, isn't it? You've got to kind of get your heads around this one a little bit, because this is telling us something about the nature of God. See, the uniquely Christian belief about God is that God is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you were baptized into the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the uniquely Christian view of God. What does that tell us about God? It tells us two things. First, it tells us that God is a community. That's why we are in community. God calls us into community with one another because that's a reflection of who God is. Oh, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? It's good, though. Think about it. It's good. Go and mull that around in your head a little bit more. It will change your nature of how you see God and how we see one another. Secondly, this is a dynamic community. It's not a community just sitting there going, oh, it's lovely here, isn't it? Oh, lovely, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Love being together. Brilliant. Let's just sit here and have a cup of coffee together. It's not what God does, is it? Well, maybe, I don't know. Let's not push that one too much further. But anyway, you get my point. It's a dynamic community. It's doing something. It's a sent community. The Father sent the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. And you know what? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, what do? They send who? Who do they send? Us, thank you. They send the church out into the world to do what? To bring the peace of God. Whoa, that's good, isn't it? That's exciting. Are you excited by that? Good, excellent. I'm pleased about that. Right, fantastic. Right. It is exciting. It's exciting getting hold of the nature of God. What he's doing, what he's doing, he's ascending God. He sends us. Do you know what? There's another word for that. It's a word you've probably heard a lot about. It's a word you're probably going to hear a lot more about. Don't worry too much about the word. But the word is, this is mission. To be on a mission is to be sent. God sends us. What does he send us to do? Sends us to bring peace through what Jesus has done. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace with ourselves. Actually, interesting thing is, little bit of an aside. Actually, when we're sent, what we actually find is that when we step out in mission, you find this interesting thing happening. You step out and you find God's already there. So kind of like, well, you sent me and now I've met you. So how does that work? Well, because the invitation, the command to go is also the invitation to come, isn't it? Whoa, okay, that's a bit difficult to get your heads around as well. But it's just true. You've got to step out. It's not so much as something to think about in your head and then go, okay, I've got that now. Sent, I'll get. No, it's actually we do it and we'll learn. And as we do it, our thinking will change. Our understanding of God will change. Not that we have to get it all right in our head. So if you're thinking, I don't understand what he's going on about, don't worry about it. Just ignore it, okay? Just ignore him. Ignore me, it's fine. As we step out, we'll experience it. We'll do it. We find that God's already there. We already meet God there. Jesus says, I see nothing, I don't know anything unless I see my Father doing it, and I join in with what he's doing. We find out, but it's both, we're also sent. So, what is mission? See, I think we've got this false idea of mission, right? Who thinks that mission is really about, oh no, he's sending me on mission, I've got to go and stand in Mansfield Town Centre and start preaching at people? Who actually thinks in their honesty that that's what you've got to do? Nobody. Fantastic. Well, anyway, that's good, because you don't. So that's great, isn't it? So that's great. So, in fact, please, can I please make a plea for you? Don't go and stand in Mansfield Town Centre and start preaching at people. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. If I see one of you, you know, out there going, Mark, you sent us on mission. I'm out here preaching. I'm going to, you know, if I take you off at the kneecaps, don't be offended. It's not what it's about. Go on street pastors, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Go and serve people. Go and bring them flip-flops and water and stay up half the night like Anne and Rob do and then look really exhausted the next day. Who was that? Were you out last night? Is Anne here somewhere? She was here. I thought she was. Anyway, Rob, you weren't out last night, were you? But anyway, you know, that's brilliant. Street pastors, fantastic. Don't go and stand on street corners. You don't need to do that. How can you do it, though? Well, you know, we do it by making disciples. More about that on Tuesday as well. And we do it together. Why do we do it together? Well, because we're at peace with one another, aren't we? Because Jesus has given us this peace to share with one another. That's what he's given us to do. We're at peace with one another. And actually, do you know what? I know that there's a lot of concern. I'm going to say a bit more about this on Tuesday as well. But I know there's a lot of concern about ending our cell groups and what about our community life together and how's that going to work? Do you know what? I promise you this, right? You can. I know this is a dangerous thing to say, but I believe this to be true. That as you step out together with others to serve God and to bring his peace in new ways, you will reach a depth of community and discipleship and support that we can't imagine now. So how can you do it? Here's some ways, right? Here's some mission ways. No street corners. Right, don't need to do that. Here's some ways. You can make cakes. Who can make cakes here? Fantastic. I bet some really good. I reckon more of you can make cakes than that. I can even make cakes. I can make cakes. I made some mean muffins when Helen was in the Philippines. I want to make them again, really. Although I did make a mistake because, basically, it was Zach's home ec. So, basically, or whatever it's called, food technology now. I've got a degree in that. But anyway, so food technology brings home the muffin recipe with options for different fillings. Bananas, cinnamon, apple. I thought we had to put all of them in. They were great, though. I thought they were nice. But anyway, there you go. Can make cakes for family church or for little fishes. Helen, they like cakes for little fishes, don't you? If you want to make cakes for little fishes, make some cakes. It's great. It's a great way of welcoming people. Granny cakes. Yeah, in fact, when we do family church, the people come saying, do you know what they like about family church? One of the things they like is granny cakes. So grannies, make cakes. Or you don't have to be a granny, to be fair, but, you know, get my point. Make cakes for little fishes. Make cakes for family church. Even better, go and serve the tea and coffee there and bring it to people and welcome them because we're about sharing peace and community, aren't we? That's mission. What about washing up at the Beacon? Mary loves it when people go and wash up at the Beacon. She loves it when people go and wash up at the Beacon, don't she? Because Mary loves washing up, don't you, Mary? No, Mary loves. Go and wash up at the Beacon, okay? Or if you say, well, I'm working in the day, I can't do that. Well, go to the soup run. Okay, John and Sue will be delighted to see you. Go and serve someone a cup of tea. That's a mission. No street corners. Right, you don't have to preach to them. Yeah, in fact, please don't. Please don't preach to them. Just go and make him a cup of tea. That's all you've got to do. They might say, why are you doing this? Oh, well, actually, I want to tell you about Jesus. That's a different scenario, isn't it? It's not like, here's a cup of tea. Confess your sins now. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Here's a cup of tea. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's the best thing I've ever found in my life. I want to share him with you. So, you can serve at the soup run. You can be an assistant in the children's work. We're looking at our children's work. We want to take it forward. Mark Hurd's doing a great job thinking about some new ideas from his sabbatical. We need people to help with that. I don't know. I like children very much. Children, do I have to do that? No, you don't have to be fair. You don't have to. But Jesus did say, let children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. You've got to accept it like a little child. We need people to assist in our children's work. Think about that, where you're going to fit into this as we go forward. You can say hello to the person sitting next to you. You've already done that this morning, so you've already done some mission today. Isn't that good? Well, kind of. If you've welcomed somebody here today into our community, you know, that's good. That's building community. That's sharing peace. It's what God sent us to do. You can tell people about Jesus when it's appropriate. Yes, of course. I'm not saying don't tell anyone about Jesus. Don't bring him into this. Don't bring that God thing in. No. Not at all. Of course you tell people about Jesus. But then if we think Jesus is a good thing, then don't we want to share that with people around us? You can help out as a receptionist in the centre. See, got a great thing going on around the centre. Loads of community groups coming in. Loads of people there. Loads of contacts. You can help out as a receptionist. Marlene Shrive does this on a Monday afternoon. She goes and helps out on a Monday afternoon, welcomes people into the centre. Here's a coffee machine. Yeah, put your 40p in there, take some more money. No, that's fine. But you can go and help out as a receptionist. That will really relieve the burden on what Judith and Dave are doing down there. You know, that will make a big difference. That will release them. You can go and do that. help out as a receptionist in the centre. We haven't got street corners yet, have we? So there you go. You can serve tea and coffee after church. You can do that. Even I can make tea. Right, even I can make tea and coffee. I can do that. Right? I think most of us can probably manage to make a cup of tea or coffee. And that, what does that do? Creates a welcoming place here, doesn't it? Creates a sense of community. People come in, feel welcome, sharing God's peace. You can share a meal with somebody. You can invite somebody around to your house so you don't know very well. You can share it across this community. Oh, loads of things we can do, aren't there? You can visit someone who's in hospital. You could talk to, you might know somebody who's lonely in their home who really would desperately like someone to visit them. You could talk to Ava about that and we could arrange for that to happen, or you could do it in the name of the church. We need to, I know there's some sort of safeguarding stuff around here that we probably need to be aware of, and we need to think about how it's going to work, but you get my point. These are just ways. There's loads of different ways. You know, so what have we got? We got from making cakes, being a receptionist in the centre, saying hello to somebody, making a cup of tea. Jesus said this. You know, and you're thinking, well, is that really mission? I thought it was about standing on street corners. Have we dealt with the street corner issue now? I think we've dealt with the street corner issue. It's not about standing on a street. Jesus said this, you know, if you give somebody a cup of water in my name, you will not lose your reward. Cup of water. That's easy, isn't it? Just get someone a drink of water. You give them a cup of water, but no, you will not lose your reward. This is the message of peace. My prayer going forward, you know, for this church, for us here, for this community together, is that we will know more and more about what it means to be at peace with one another. We gotta get our heads around this, really. You know, it's not about, you know, I know in one sense you're all sitting in rows of pews and you're looking at me and you're thinking, oh, he's the vicar. Well, it's up to you, mate. It's not really. You know, to use a rather hackneyed and overworn phrase of our current beloved government, we're all in this together. We really are all in this together. If this community isn't how you want it to be, we all have a responsibility for making it what it is. We all have a calling to be at peace with one another. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace with ourselves. This is Jesus' gift to us. This is what he's given us. This is what we are sent to share. As the Father sends the Spirit, as the Father sent the Son and the Spirit send the church. Father and the Son send the Spirit. Father, Son and Spirit send the church to bring this peace. A peace the world is crying out for. A peace, I think, to be fair, that we're crying out for. As we go through the next week, as you come on Tuesday and Saturday, I know there's lots of questions. I know you've got lots of things, lots of concerns and anxieties. But actually, I want you to hold this. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. It's about knowing this peace ourselves, receiving Jesus' gift to us, and sharing it with others. Everything we're doing is built around that idea. That's why we're doing it. Because we want to be more effective. We want to be more effective at sharing this story, more effective at bringing this peace, more effective at of seeing Mansfield changed. There's nothing special about us. Nothing special about us. There's something special about Jesus. There's something special about what Jesus is offering. And that's what we're here to do. That's what our lives are about. Let's stand together. Just listen to these words again and just allow the Spirit of God to bring them home to you. The friend, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you.